work. So what we're going to do is take a little bit of time and just talk together about things and what we can do in this whole area. And the first thing I'd like to start with, I'm Linda Silco. That's not the first thing. But the first thing is, have you eaten in the Union or in your dorm in the last month? Do you think about any of these issues? Got a few people going, and how about for the rest of us? So what were surprises? What did you learn? What questions did this raise for you? And it could be a really unformed question. You can say, I don't get it, or you're not ready to sign up. So what did this make you think about?
So I'm particularly baffled by the fact that there wasn't really an environmentally conscious driver behind the farmers. That to me seems, it just doesn't seem to fit quite right in my mind. What is driving farmers to participate in food to institution if they're not in it to be sustainable or to be local and environmentally conscious?
Okay, so this interesting question that here's some fascinating data, and it looks like we would start out thinking maybe that it'd be the environmental drivers that were important. Doesn't look like that's what's coming out. So that this raises some interesting kinds of issues for us. Do you want to say anything before we, or
what was the question? I'm sorry.
No, that's
She was surprised that there's not a lot of concern for environmental sustainability coming out of the farmers, and you know what's really driving them if it's not the opportunity to be environmentally conscious.
Go ahead and answer, and then I had a follow-up.
I think it's really interesting because we saw just a range of how people think about sustainability, and you know, I think it's fair to say that some farmers feel that by definition their trade, their profession requires them to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so it's by, if you're a farmer, you are sustainable. And they would say they already are, and because they have to grow a crop every year, and if they don't treat the earth right, so
interesting, maybe complexities in how people are thinking about it, and maybe opportunities for us to engage in conversation.
And as a follow-up to that, I had a methods question about how many farmers and producers and distributors have been interviewed so far, and how many you hope to get to, and especially with farmers, how those folks were identified.
So a methods question about sort of how many people have been interviewed so far, and how are they done, and what's the hope for how many?
So limited. Tremendously limited, and again, this was really pilot to start us up, and so there's no doubt that we've got less than 10 interviews that we've conducted, and we're going to do a few more. And what we tried to do was go across the supply chain. That was really the crucial thing we tried to do, which meant that at any point we didn't catch a lot of people. So,
and so
that's a concern. There's no doubt that that's a concern. But it's surely not inconsistent with what's in the literature. Either, right?
Yeah.
With respect to that, our hope is definitely with some additional funding to go out and try and continue with the interviews. You know, if you look at the chancellor when he acknowledged this initiative, it's all about the money. It's about the economics.
And I'll pass this around from today's paper about UMaine system gets local food onto more plates.
And there's no doubt, right? We do want to see our Maine agriculture be profitable and sustainable economically. Right.
And so one of the interesting things about your question about the methodology and how many is, this is an opportunity to think about how do we all come together and do some more work if we want to do some more research, and given all the research skills here in the room, sort of how do we, if that's important.
And the access was through our partner.
Okay.
Yes.
I have an interesting talk.
I see like your definition of sustainability. Myself is a food processing engineer. So what you discussed is farmers, they raise some fresh produce, I would say it's not processed. But when you say sustainability, related to soil and a little bit of supply chain, I would like to hear from your experience about the farmers, whether they apply the good good agriculture practices, which are major concern about Food Safety Modernization Act coming up, your quality, food safety. And when you talk about sustainability, I sometimes extend that to reducing the waste, because you produce a lot of produces, right? Green vegetables, produces. What happens if you don't sell that in the same day? Do you have that facility to store it? How to deal with those waste? I mean, I consider that as a total sustainability rather than just on one part. And then coming to soil, what kind of irrigation water are you using? Is it free from bacteria? Is the soil free from bacteria, minerals? I mean, those kind of questions, I mean, your experience on that.
So I think we see Bellu as another partner who's gonna join.
So you're 100% correct, right? So there's no argument with anything you're saying. We, due to the preliminary stages, we're really looking at a small piece of it, right? Because if you're totally correct, if we want to look at sustainability, it's from the beginning through to the end, to the waste products. We didn't do that. Nor did we define sustainability. We were trying to understand how the people, the stakeholders, how the people along the supply chain were thinking about sustainability. So I know I have a sense, I have a definition that was not germane for how we conducted this. And overwhelmingly, people discussed the economic sustainability. That's where the primacy really seemed to be at this point in time. And you know, as we noted, farmers say, I farm every year. I have to be sustainable to farm every year. I think it's more complex than that, right? They also recognize it's more complex than that. We did not really identify all the nuances yet. And we just didn't have, that's not where we could go at this point in time. But so we 100% agree with you, and your thoughts about how to extend it would be excellent.
Thank you.
You know, tied in with all this, I guess, something I don't know, maybe y'all have bumped into, is if the farmers don't sell to institutions, do they have enough other current outlets? That is, so if they instead sell to institutions, where are we taking it away from? So is this providing sales that weren't there, or is it taking sales from someplace else? I don't know what our capacity locally is and where else it can go to.
But I think that's a great question, right? And partially we're seeing the agricultural sector is growing in the state of Maine.
Right.
And in talking to people throughout the supply chain, there's this real supply-demand quandary, right? So if you know, we're at 20% here, they're thinking easily to get to 30% through the Maine system. So and when you see the multipliers, when the multipliers were expressed early on,
right,
there's this notion, if we're only spending $6.5 million on food in the state of Maine, in the Maine system, where if we substitute local, what did we not bring in? Which I think is part of your question, Grant, is, so what we're seeing is these multipliers really vary, that we see largely based upon the extent of the market that people start to look at and think about, where did we see either sales get minimized, jobs lost, because now we've substituted local producers in for what had been a national or a global market. And so those are issues that are going on. You know, I don't think the total food volume of sales in Maine is gonna increase, right? So that's, I don't think that's going to happen, but what we can do regionally, and there's a large regional food movement to think about how we can sustain agricultural production and generate more food in the local area in the region is really kind of crucial, I think, especially in light of some other changes that are going on.
I was in the Real Food Challenge over this for a couple of years, and one of the things that frustrates me is we did a lot of tabling, we did a lot of educating, and people that talk to us and say, oh yeah, this is really important, and not demand it. And I'm wondering, like of all the things that the average student is thinking when he, she, or they go to the cafeteria, how can we get it to be in the mindset of the person just going to get a regular meal at the cafeteria? Like, do we need to start working earlier and earlier breaks? But how can we get people to be demanding this?
Okay, so the interesting question is, she's involved with the Real Food Challenge, really looking at how do you help consumers, students understand the importance of where their food's coming from and what they're doing. And the feeling that you didn't have as much of an impact as you hoped. So how do we get that kind of impact?
So I can start that and answer, and if anybody else has some more. The Farm to School Network, a big part of that is education, which hasn't been part of the Farm to Institution except through groups like the Real Food Challenge. The work that's been done on our own campus about surveying students and what their concerns are about food. Organic doesn't really rise there. Real food didn't really rise. Local is important. So, you know, as an educator, I think we always think education is the key way that we get people to understand what's happening in the food system, the implications of the food systems, and then if they want to become involved, then change it. So it's, you know, comes down to education, I think.
This is really in the news a lot in today's Boston Globe. Another article about food and students, and this was on, even at elite colleges, students go hungry. And so it was kind of thinking about some of the kinds of issues. I want to ask you another question, and we've got some questions also coming in remotely that we'll respond to. But you heard, many of you here, it's wonderful, your students, and you heard Nikhil's story about how she got involved. So what resonated about that story with you? The idea that you might take on something where you haven't yet had a chance to do research, that you could do something that made a difference. So what are your thoughts as a student about sort of what you learned? Not to put you on the spot. So thoughts? I'm really good at just staying here until somebody says something. Somebody, we're gonna have this. So what resonated for you, maybe in terms of your major? So what majors do we have here? And how did you see maybe your major as being able to contribute in some way? So what majors do we have here?
Environmental science.
Environmental science, great. Everybody here, environmental science?
Wildlife ecology.
Wildlife ecology.
Forestry.
Forestry.
Food science.
Food science.
Agriculture.
Agriculture.
Economics.
Economics.
Ecology.
Ecology. So what would you do? How would you be involved? Where do you see your place and your major as offering something to this interesting set of problems that we have here that we're thinking about in terms of food?
When you were talking about why students aren't necessarily buying into local foods, I mean, you mentioned earlier that I wasn't you, I'm sorry, it was someone else that mentioned that local foods usually had a higher price compared to your other food sources. So if, especially if you're looking at a student demographic, there's a good chance that they won't have a lot of disposable income to spend extra on an issue that even if they find it important. Like if I go to the grocery store, I'm getting whatever's cheapest and that's it.
Yeah, so really thinking about the cost issue, and if you're in a major that helps you think about that, is there something that your discipline could offer insights that would help us think about that? Other possibilities, things that occur to you?
I'm an agriculture student. And,
and can you talk real loud so we hear you?
I'm an agriculture student, and I found I learned a lot and had a lot of fun with hands-on things. So working up at the Hoop House, the Humane Greens up behind the bank, that's one thing I found where I can help make a difference and provide food right at the union. And going off the last point, by becoming more part of the agricultural community, you kind of learn about the farmers markets. And especially in the fall, I would argue that you can get better produce for cheaper prices than Hannaford, at least on like, just say carrots or a head of lettuce. It's not a lot, but here and there you can kind of save a couple of dollars and eat better. It's just that education factor is really hard to in there.
Other thoughts from your majors? We're going to show this video to your professors.
I'll just play devil's advocate and say that I think it takes more than, it's going to take more than education to do. Seems like no matter what you're doing, it takes more than education to advance that cause. And so I'm starting to think back on the social values part of it. So how do you approach this kind of change maybe through that angle?
Uh-huh.
Great.
I don't answer that. Great. I would agree on that. In that, a previous project at one of my former schools, we were trying to integrate more local food into the school's dining system. But they, even through after all the sort of bringing up all the highlights of the benefits of the local food system, a lot of the sort of investors and the board members who would be paying for this at a private school weren't really interested in spending the money on the local foods thing because they just didn't buy into it value-wise. So
really thinking about this from a social values perspective and how that might help us and give us insight into what some of the issues are, how we need to work together, and what some of the leverage points might be or that aren't working right now.
Well, I was sort of thinking about the same thing. It seems like this, you brought up this issue of the institution of the University of Maine and the Maine system actually thinking of itself as a sort of institutionally as a driver of the economy and a supporter of the economy. So there's this whole social value of the integration of this institution into that economy, which seems to be partially a driver of this. And the other one, I guess, I wonder is, do you have any evidence maybe from your interviews or have you thought about this, about some of the purchaser types, the food system, the dining systems and so on, also being worried about not just about monolithic agriculture, but monolithic distribution. In other words, to keep some variety in that distribution network so that you're not, in the end, totally reliant on distributor X who could then set whatever price they want. Is that a concern that people have?
That's not what I think. They were really thrilled when another aggregator popped up on the map. So they are just not seeing it as a problem that there's not enough diversity in terms of distribution. They actually, I think, would like, well, yeah, I think they're
like more diversity.
But I did want to say one thing, Grant. I was thinking about your question, and just to get back to what you had asked, we did see from the farmers, from growers, real interest in being able to contractually gain certainty. And so before they commit a deep dive into farm to institution, they want some assurance about what is the ongoing across years demand, you know, likely to be before they totally shift away from whatever other markets they're in, probably farmers markets, CSAs, et cetera, you know what I mean? And so I think that that's a very plausible response and understandable response. So I'm not sure we really know exactly where food is being taken away from to do farm to institution with these smaller middle-sized types, because I don't know that they've totally committed yet to a long-term relationship in farm to institution. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we had a question from, we have people that we can't see that are participating here remotely, and Donna Coffin, who works a lot with farmers, asked a question. You just brought up scale, and we were talking about scale, and she asked, does the scale of the farm seem to affect the concern with environmental issues? Are smaller scale farmers, say, more concerned for environmental issues? And personally, I find that really interesting. I don't know where you grew up, but I grew up in Iowa, and a small farm was about maybe 800 acres. So kind of thinking about how you do things, it's just so interesting, the differences across places. So thoughts on whether you were seeing in the preliminary data any differences
in terms of, we didn't have a large enough, I think, kind of data set to really dig into that, but I think that our understanding from some comments that were made is that the huge commodity producers that might be choosing to participate farm to institution rely on more of a cost leadership strategy. So it's a huge capital investment, more monoculture, and more chemical intensiveness.
Yeah.
There we go. I knew it would come out. Yay. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So, but I would be reluctant to say we saw a trend on one kind or another.
Okay. Hi, this is Donna Coffin. Can you hear me?
We sure can. Yeah. Thank you, Donna.
I just wanted to say that I do work for the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, and if you're doing other types of surveys and want to have access to more farmers, we have newsletters that we can put in electronic surveys. There are also conferences that come up for small fruit and vegetable growers, for livestock producers, that we could have farmers have an opportunity to complete any surveys that you might have. So you get a wider participation.
Donna, thank you so much.
Thanks.
It's the working together that makes it all work. I know we got to leave a little bit of time because I know a number of you will want to talk with these great speakers. But before we go out the door, two or three ideas of who you're going to talk to about what you learned today. So how are you going to spread the word about either the questions you heard or the thoughts you had? As you leave the room, are you going to talk to your dog about this? And talk to your roommate? Who are you going to talk to?
My mom.
Your mom. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she'll be interested. And
yep. She works at an organic grocery store in Michigan. And this is, she studied food law. She loves this kind of thing.
Great. Great. Others of you, how are you going to have a conversation about what you heard?
Family and students. I love those local grown food, particularly I'm interested in ugly food, we call.
Yeah.
Those are not in shape.
Yeah.
And usually when you buy stuff from outside, from California, Texas, you look for very nice, clean, you know, food. But not necessarily those are grown locally. If it is ugly,
yeah.
You don't touch. I mean, you
don't
eat it. Touch
yeah.
It. That is a great source
yeah.
of your food and energy and everything
great.
Goes into there.
Great.
The other people that volunteer with me in the Arno Community Garden in our wonderful.
Great. So I'm talking to the other people who work with you, volunteer with community gardens. Others?
I have a family that runs catering business back in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I can always talk to them about it because I'm sure their perspective is a lot different.
Great. Great. So I hope that every one of you will have a chance to, maybe even just, you know, talking to the policeman that stops you because you're driving too fast. But something that continues this conversation we've started, and I know that our speakers look forward to talking for a few minutes with you, and thank you for coming.